Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Wei Chu. I hope everyone can hear my voice and also my heartbeat. So I'm talking about our work, the program model support for elastic dependable cloud applications. First, let me give you a heads up. Our motivation is today everyone talks about cloud, and actually people overuse, abuse the word cloud. But what makes the cloud so promising? What makes the cloud, the real strength of cloud is the elasticity. Being able to scale up the system or scale down the system on demand is very crucial for cloud. But so far, there has been very little study on the elasticity aspect of the cloud. In fact, programmers are nervous about elasticity because, after all, how are you going to reason about the correctness, the behavior, and the semantics of the program if you don't know how many nodes is going to run your program at runtime? So let me give you a big picture of how an ideal cloud should function. In the ideal scenario, the programmer will write the code assuming he's writing for a fixed set of the physical nodes. He will compile it and then push it to cloud, and the cloud runtime will handle the rest of all. When the demand goes up, it should be able to scale up the system by allocating more physical resources and then to fulfill the requests. When demand goes down, it should be able to scale down the system by recycling the underutilized resources. And this is exactly what we want to achieve in the program model. There's one more thing about failures. When the programmer programmed the applications, he assumed of the fixed set of resources. But elasticity will involve more resources in your application at runtime, and there's a problem. Let's assume that in this case, we have a small set of the distributed system. We know that node can fail. When the node fails, it will stop to respond to the request from other nodes. We want to do a failure recovery, but it's not enough to just restore the state from the nodes. We have to restore the entire nodes because of the messaging in between the system. And therefore, even a single node failure will trigger a global failure recovery, and that is bad. Because now, suppose your application become more and more popular, and the elasticity will give you more and more resources in the system, and with the growing number of nodes, so is the growing number of failures. And then you are lost, because programmers does not assume that the failure rate goes up with the demand and elasticity. Therefore, if you have a naive elasticity scheme, that will likely to make the system to fail more likely. In the end, you use the cloud trying to get a benefit from the cloud, but you end up with the cloud that you don't want. So let me talk about the program model that will help us to make it better. We start with a simple case. There's one single physical node that has a state. In practice, a physical node can be a process in the Unix system. And in the model, we assume a node is a transactional event-driven system. And therefore, when a request enters a node, it creates event, which is processed by the node, one after the other. You cannot allow multiple events to enter the node simultaneously, because that will cause shared resources to be accessed simultaneously. That's not good. But we want to add parallelism because multi-core technologies is great. But how do we do? Well, we will split the node state into several contexts. And even when they execute, they will execute in different contexts. And by the way, the context is a subset of the node state. So when the event enters different contexts, they can run in parallel without affecting each other. But we have to preserve the sequential ordering of the event, because that makes the program easier to reason about the semantics of the program. So when they commit, they have to commit in a sequential order. And this is great, adding parallelism to system. But it is simple because now event can enter one context at a time. If you want to support more general kind of application, you need different, more advanced technique. So we can define the context in a hierarchical structure. Event, when they execute, they will start from the top level of the context and then go down the context tree to access more contexts. For example, event one enters the global context first. When it is ready to leave the global context, it will take a snapshot and then go to the lower level context. By doing so, event when they execute at a lower level context is still able to access the state of the context of the higher level ones. Now, as I said before, we want to preserve the sequential ordering semantics. What that means is if event can send messages to remote node, you have to defer it. Why? Because suppose now event one, event two send messages at the same time. Because of a sequential ordering, you have to make sure all the messages sent by the event one goes before the message of the event two. One case is event one may emit the message when it later in the execution, and we will enforce the sequential ordering by doing so. By when the event one commit, messages going out. You know, you remember that they were deferred initially. When the event two commits, the message sent by the event two goes out remote node. So there's a deferral step in here. Now, after doing so much work, we observe a key observation, that is, the contexts are isolated from each other, and therefore you can actually delegate some of the contexts to other physical nodes. And we can define a logical node as a set of physical nodes that handles these contexts. The event execution within the logical node is equivalent to the event executing on one physical node. And this is exactly how we achieve the elasticity. Because we can map the context to a physical node. When the demand goes up, we can distribute contexts to other physical nodes. Suppose now we have more demand. We can allocate four physical nodes to handle the contexts. And it's intuitive that by doing so, that will make the system more scalable, capable of handling requests. If you have even more requests, you can allocate more physical nodes to handle the contexts. So the takeaway here is that you can achieve the elasticity by simply changing the mapping of the context to the physical node. And that provides a transparent elasticity to a programmer, because now programmer write the code on the assumption of he only knows about the logical node and the context. This updating of the mapping doesn't need to be cared about by the programmers. Now, after solving the elasticity issues, let's tackle the dependability issues. And interestingly, what we have talked about about the programming model handling the elasticities also helps in implementing the fault tolerance protocol. As we talked about before, the problem with the fault tolerance issue here is the single node failure will trigger the global failure recovery. Here, I'll show without programming model, we can do partial recovery. Suppose we use the same example of the logical node. In this logical node, we assume that this physical node will fail. So initially, event 1 enters the context. When it finishes its execution, it will take a snapshot of the context. Event 2 enters the context, and then the failure occurs. When it occurs, what we'll do is we will terminate the event 2 and also event 3, which is on the waiting list of accessing this context. Then we have the snapshot of the context. So just restore the context by using a snapshot from the event 1. And then we replay the event 2. Replay event 3, and so on and so forth. So as you can see, you can achieve the failure recovery on a per context basis. There's one more thing I need to mention about, which is whether the event replay is safe or not. Assuming that when the event 2, suppose that event 2 sent a message. After that, the failure takes place. If the message has already been sent out, when you replay the event 2, you will send the same message again, creating a duplicate copy of messages that will cause confusion to remote node. But if you remember what we said before about the message deferral, then you're good, because suppose now event 1 enters the context and send a message, it will be deferred at the logical node. When the event 1 commit, the message sent out to remote node. Similarly, event 2 enters the context, it will send a message which is deferred at the node itself. When the failure takes place, we replay the event 2. At the same time, we will discard that deferred message. When replaying the event 2, it will send a message which is deferred, and then event 2 commits, and the deferred message is sent out to remote node. Because the previous message was discarded, there is only one copy being sent to remote node, and so there's no problem in causing the inconsistencies in this case. In general, all the outgoing messages have to be deferred. All the interactions going out have to be deferred. There's one final piece regarding the implementation of the system. Here we see three logical nodes. We designate a head node for each of the logical nodes. This head node will be responsible for deferring the outgoing messages. And also, when the message comes in to the logical node, it actually goes to the head node itself and then relay to the physical nodes. From the external perspective, the communication between the three logical nodes is equivalent to the communication between the three head nodes. We know that people might argue that whether the this relay of messages in between the logical the head node is efficient or not, and we know that this is actually equivalent to implementing application level switch, and there has been a lot of studies on implementing how to make a good implementation of the application level switch. And also, our system target on a computational intensive work. And therefore, the messaging is only a small portion of the entire execution. So efficiency is not that a big deal here. So to conclude, we know that elasticity is very important and crucial for the future cloud development. And our program model enables elastic execution and also preserve the sequential ordering that allows the programmer to write the program easily. And finally, we find that all the programming model mechanisms and elasticities also helps in implementing the fault tolerance protocol. For more details about this project, please go to our project website, maysystem.org. Thank you for your listening, and I'm ready to take questions. No.
Because you mentioned that just the head nodes communicate. So what are the other nodes used for?
Well, the other nodes handles the context. And so in our implementation, actually, the head node, when it receives the message, it creates an event. Event will then enter context. Context is hosted by some of the internal nodes in here. So when the messages comes in here, create event that enters some of the physical node and then process it and then commit. So this node is not responsible for the replication.
But each message that arrives at the head, does it involve computation at the other nodes? Or other nodes implementing this logical node?
Other nodes implementing. I'm not sure I'll catch your question.
Maybe we can take it offline.
Yeah, we can take it offline.
More questions? So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the failure modes of these logical nodes. So I think I read in your paper that one of the nodes fails and the entire logical node has to stop. Is that true?
Sorry, your question again? Right. So to elaborate more, when a logical node fails, first of all, a logical node is composed of several physical nodes. A physical node is like a process in a system. Suppose one of the physical nodes fails. If you have a naive elasticity mechanism, one node failure will trigger the entire logical node failures. And if you're assuming that inside a logical node involves many physical nodes, then it is more likely to cause higher failure rate. So what we do here is we perform this fault tolerance protocol trying to mask the physical node failures because we have the snapshot of the context from events, so we can restore it. Now, the question here remains is, so this is about the physical node handling the context. What about the head nodes? Well, actually, any standard approach to handling the failures of the nodes can apply to handling the head node failures, such as Paxos, or maybe another project can in our group called MESCAN, can help to defend the fault tolerance of the head nodes. Yeah, Paxos can be used to handle it. Suppose you have multiple head nodes for this logical node, then you can apply the Paxos to handle the failures for the head node failures.
Right.
Right. So you have, so the question is, assuming there are more logical nodes and less physical nodes.
Right.
Well, I would say, suppose you say the physical node is a process in the Udine system, then it is equivalent to, well, running several processes on the same machine. Well, in that case, then, well, it depends on how the failure is. Like if it's a software problem, then probably only one of the process on the same machine will crash. If it's a hardware issue, then, well, multiple processes on the same node will fail. So that will depend on the failure model. And here we just assume that when the node failures, that just stop to respond. And